Hebrews chapter 13. Talk about a guy who's got a lot of money. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Everybody there? All right. Verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says this. It says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I want you to notice that it says here that we continually offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. One of the things that we miss a lot is when we talk about Thanksgiving, it's a one-day thing. When actually giving of thanks should be something that you celebrate every single second of your life. Being thankful is something that we need to, it's an art, so to speak. Being thankful, we know from scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says one of the signs of the end times is that people will become unthankful. And what I mean by unthankful, if you notice lately, you do something for somebody and no one says thank you. Actually, they expect you to do something from them. Right? Ever hold a door open for somebody and they walk right in and don't even acknowledge, say anything, and you're like, okay, next time you come through, I'm slamming a door in your face. Right? They're unthankful. You know, whatever happened to thank you? And I know a lot of times we wait for Thanksgiving, and we wait for that one day, and even on that one day, we don't even say thank you. But the Bible is clear. God says there's something special about the fruit of your lips when you say thank you. Amen? So let's take a look at this from the Bible's sake, from God's standpoint. Psalm 100. Go to Psalm 100. Reverend Keith Moore, one of my teachers at Bible school, said this. He said, doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I'll say it again. He said, doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Psalm 100. You there yet? Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Did you notice God says, when you come to me, I want to hear your voice. And I want to hear you pretty loudly. And I want you to have thanksgiving in your voice. God never says that whenever you come to him, you should be crying, complaining, sobbing, or anything like that. God actually despises complaining. There is no complaint department in heaven. You ever go to Stu's and they have like a suggestion box? God doesn't need your suggestions. God doesn't need your complaints, because God is God all by himself. He knows how to take care of things. He knows how to fix things. He knows who he is. He knows where things are going wrong, and most of the time it's us. Amen. So God says, when you come to me with thanksgiving in your heart. If you got something bad to say, you leave it there. I don't want to hear nothing. Because all the bad stuff he left at the cross. Every problem you ever had, every sickness you ever had, every doubt, every complaint, every depressive thought, he said, you leave it right there. And you can't come to me until you go through that. God hates negativity. And I know for a fact there are people who are negaholics. In other words, they feed on negativity. They love negativity. You say black, they say white. They always say something opposite. They'll never agree with you. They'll always be negative if you're positive. You know anybody like that? Amen. We're not going to mention any names. Don't point any fingers. We're not going to take an altar call. But God does not like whining, complaining, negativity. I mean, you can go to him with your problems. I'm not saying he doesn't want to hear your problems. I'm saying when you go to him, say, God, you know, nothing ever works out for me. You know, God, you know, I don't get it anymore. God, I just can't, I'm just tired of this. God, you know, God, I got all this stuff and, you know, nothing is good anymore. You know, God, I only have a Mercedes-Benz. I would like a Bentley. God doesn't want to hear that. When they complained to him in the wilderness, what happened? He allowed snakes to bite them. He says, you want to complain? Let me show you the complaint department. And then snakes bit them. And he says this. He said, okay, are you done? Now you got to come to me through the cross. Amen. You see, complaining attracts bad stuff. It's like a magnet. It attracts bad stuff. Negativity attracts bad things in your life. Thank you for all your amens. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I like this scripture a whole lot. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 17. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 5. You there? Yes? All right, hurry up. Take your time. Just hurry up. It says this, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Stop right there. Notice he says what you're about to hear is what the will of God is for your life. Anybody have a question what God's will is for my life? Well, a lot of times we ask God, God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to be that? Do you want me to marry this person? Do you want me to go to this church? God says, let me tell you what the will of God is for your life. Just thank me. And everything else will fall into place. It's so simple. Because what happens is we say, well, God, I don't like that church. I'm tired of going to that church. You know, I don't want to go to that church anymore. They got blue lights and everything looks funny. And they got a green carpet. And the pastor likes the Jets too much. I don't want to go to that church anymore. And God says, and you say, well, God, what is your will? Where can I go? And God says, just shut up and give me thanks. Amen. Just be quiet and thank me for a while. People want, they want. I want to know this. And God says, you're not going to know anything until you give me thanks. Because he is the source of everything. Amen? Now, watch this. So he says this. Don't be unwise what the will of the Lord is. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So God's will is that you be filled with the Spirit. Let me give you what he's not saying there. He's saying this, if you have to be filled with the Spirit, that means you're going to kind of run empty sometimes. Does that make sense? Think about this. He says, be filled with the Spirit. The Greek literally says, continually filled. In other words, you keep filling up. So if you have to keep filling up, that means that you leak sometimes. In other words, that you may run out of gas. How many of you have a car? Everybody does, right? Nobody has a Tesla in here, right? Okay. Well, it even applies to your batteries. But when your car needs gas to run. When you run your car, you use gas. And at some point, you're going to have to fill up that car so you can continue to use the car. Right? Why? Because using the car depletes your gas. Well, the same is true for us. Living your life uses up gas. So living life uses up something inside of you. I'm not going to call it your energy or anything like that. I'm not into New Age. But it uses you. And comes a point in time where you'll become spiritually depleted. You'll run out of spiritual gas. And so God says this, you need to keep refilling up your gas tank. You see, if you have a car that has no gas, what happens? If you have a Bentley that has no gas in it, car looks sharp. Wow, that's a Bentley $100,000 plus car sitting there. Everybody will admire it. But guess what? It's good for nothing. And so with us as Christians, if we run out of spiritual gas, we're good for nothing. So God says Paul's telling us you need to continually refill your gas tank, your spiritual gas tank. Actually, the Greek implies to top it off. In other words, everything to be filled to the brim with rim with Maxwell House coffee. What is it? Maxwell House? Right? Filled to the rim? Brim? Filled to the brim? Right? In other words, God says fill up so much that you actually spill over to somebody else. So your responsibility, this is your God's will for your life. He says you need to fill up so much so that you overflow. Listen, I could guarantee you in this room there are people who are spiritually depleted, who are just run dry. And you're wondering why. Lord, I don't know. I go to church. I do this. The reason why is he says, because you're not giving thanks. Verse 19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek literally says, speak to yourselves, not speak to one another. King James says, speak to yourselves. The Greek says, speak to yourselves. So in other words, you need to go look yourself in the mirror and start speaking to yourself and start singing songs of praise, thanking God, encourage yourself. But notice, you're not thanking yourself. It says, giving thanks always to God the Father. Did you notice a direction? The direction is not you or the mirror. The direction is to Him. But you need to speak it out of your mouth. So the lifestyle is this. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you're amazing. Lord, you put the sun in the sky. Lord, you hung the stars up in the sky. Lord, you woke me up this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you forgave me of my sins. Thank you that I'm not feeling condemned this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you're on my side. Thank you, Lord, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that you're there when I'm not faithful. You're always faithful. Lord, I can't do nothing but thank you, 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 Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory. Thank you. I can lift my hands. I can open my mouth. I can say thank you, Lord. I can scream it out. I can talk about God. I can sing about God. And while I'm opening my mouth, He's filling me up. Hallelujah. When you're going this way, He's going this way. When you're saying something, He's filling your tank up. Amen. And with the price of gas these days, you better start filling up your spiritual gas tank. And God is totally free. He never raises His gas price. And He's got lots of gas. That's almost a bad sermon. God's got gas. Never mind. Woo, some of you got gas, right? Woo, praise the Lord. Just listen, next time somebody says, hey, anybody? No, I'm just filling up my tank. I just had too much in my tank. I'm overflowing. Let's go, baby. I was watching the video. Oh, Craig turned me on to the pooter. The guy who goes in elevators and hits the button and goes, it's like, praise the Lord. I'm just spiritually full. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. so notice the direction. You're talking to yourself because you're encouraging yourself. You see, because there's some of you that came up this morning, right? It's an impossibility. Well, no, don't tell me he can't do it. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen it myself. 34 years ago, my mother had half her neck ripped out and all her muscles pulled out because cancer invaded her body. And the doctor told me, he called me up and he says, can you come into my office? Because I was, you know, helping, walking my mother to the hospital, to all the appointments and everything. And he said, listen, your mother has 6 months to live. This is 34 years ago, just before we got married, right? 34 years, your mother has 6 months to live. I said, doctor, I said, I want you to never, ever repeat those words to her. I'll sign a waiver right now. Don't ever tell her she has 6 months to live. He goes, why? He goes, because it'll kill her. Don't you dare tell her. I signed a waiver. He made me sign a waiver. I said, don't. I'll take full responsibility. I release you of all medical whatever. We prayed for her, right? We actually prayed for her. She went into the hospital. We prayed for her. We gave her a prayer cloth. Remember? We gave her a prayer cloth. She went into, had surgery. They ripped out, you know, all the muscles and everything. And she was locked in there for 3 days because they did some, a whole bunch of radiation. And she, when I say locked, she was in a lead-proof room. So nobody could go in. They had to slide food inside. And they had an IV, so they really didn't feed her for 3 days. They had pellets, radiation pellets in her throat to kill the cancer because it was that aggressive. He said it was the most aggressive cancer they had at that time. And she would be dead in 6 months. So nobody went, nurses didn't go in the room, nobody. It was locked. After she came out, we went to see her, we picked her up, and she sat me down. She goes, I don't know how this happened. Jesus walked into my room. She says, I wasn't hallucinating. I wasn't on drugs. She says, but no one's allowed in that room. And he walked in to my room and he said this, I've healed you. And then I saw him walk out. She goes, but no one was allowed in my room. It wasn't a doctor. It wasn't anybody. It was Jesus. Well, it was only about 10 years ago, I think. What did he say to her? Yeah, I said that. Yeah, where were you? She's 60, remember? I told you, your body's... You know what I like about her being 60? She has a sense of humor now. She laughs. Okay. It was only about 10 years ago that my mother sat me down. She goes, come here. I said, what? She goes, I heard that you told the doctor. He did. Because he had finished, he'd retired from practice. So it was the last time he'll ever see her again. And he told her, he says, I just want to tell you what your son did. And she goes, I heard what you did. And I just smile. Because she would have been dead. She would have never seen her grandchildren, never seen her great-grandchildren. And I just gave thanks to the Lord. You see, there's sometimes when I say, don't tell me God can't do it. I've seen it for myself. And I give thanks to God. Because when I hear people have cancer, I said, it's no big deal to God. It's no big deal to God. I thank God that my mom is still here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are times we fill ourselves up. We sing to the Lord. I'm not doing too well today. I just need some spiritual gas. So, Lord, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to Romans 16 for a second. Go to Romans 16 for a second. You see, let me tell you why you need spiritual strength and spiritual gas. Because there's a lot of Christians just giving up. Just giving up on everything. Giving up on going to church. Giving up on standing in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. What did I say? Romans 16? Watch what Paul does here. Watch what Paul does. Verse 1. Everybody there? Verse 1. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epanamanamanamanam. That's Greek to me. I don't know. Greet Mary, who labored among us. Greet Andronicus, Junior. If you go throughout this whole chapter, Paul is giving thanks for the people in his life. He's thanking God and everybody else for the people in his life. Paul never once says, God, thank you for my iPhone 12 with dual XLR cameras. He never thanks God for things. He never says, thank you for my donkey. Thank you for the ship that I rode in on. He never thanks God for things. He thanks God for people in his life. In Ephesians 1, he says, I thank my God always when I think about you. And then he says, and I'm praying for you. Amen. We have it backwards. We thank God for things. Thank you, Lord God, for my house. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for, you know, my income. Thank you, God, that for my, you know, mochaccino latte, $7 Starbucks coffee this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I can afford it. No! How about thanking God for the people in your life? Because Starbucks will go away one day. Your car will go away, will rust and disappear. The only thing you bring with you are people. And God says, you got it all. Paul says, you got it all wrong. Thank God for those people. Thank God for Fernanda. Thank God for Mr. Tooby. Thank God for Jim back there. Thank God for everybody, for Rebecca, for Sammy, for Joe Gata sometimes. Thank God. Whenever he shows up to church. But do you notice how wrong we've got things? We're thanking God for our new bongos. Lord, thank you that we got bongos, beautiful bongos. Let's just keep adding to it, Lord. Just build it out all the way. No, the point is, I thank God for Art, who could play the bongos. Thanksgiving is all about what God has done and who he's put in our lives. Amen. Luke chapter 17. I'm almost done. Luke 17. You're good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. Luke 17. Now I'll tell you a quick story and I'll be done. Luke 17. Remember the story of the lepers? 10 lepers, right? 10 lepers. All got healed. Only one said thank you. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fulfilled the scriptures. God says, come to me with a loud voice. Come to me with shouting and thanksgiving in your heart. Why? Because I want to hear you, and I want to make sure the world hears you. Now, notice what he says. The guy, 10 went, one came back and said, thank you. Let me ask you this. We're all healed? Absolutely all were healed. But one puts a little bit more value on what was done for him. Because one realized that man Jesus did something for me that no one else could. You see, when you say thank you, you're basically saying, God, you did something for me the world can't do. And I appreciate it. I acknowledge that you did it when everybody else turned their backs on me, when everybody else was a naysayer, when everybody else told me it'll never work. God, you healed me of cancer. God, when everybody else said you're a waste, you'll never amount to anything, you turned my life around. I was the prodigal that came back and you changed my life around. I was the failure and you made me a success. God looked at Gideon and said, you mighty man of valor, you champion. And Gideon says, you talking to me? Because God sees us differently than everybody else sees us. And this man turned around and said, God, thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you. Wow, just two words. Thank you. Do you know that there was a survey done recently? I just saw it. That it said the words that people fail to say, it hurts them more than anything, is thank you. Yep, it hurts them to say thank you. Because you have to acknowledge they did something for you. Because we're in such a selfish generation now, entitlement generation, that we don't want people to do things for us. We don't want to acknowledge that they did something for us that we couldn't do. And they said, thank you. Let me finish with this story about John Osteen. Anybody know Joel Osteen? Actually, Janice and I were watching him this morning, and he was really good this morning. Right? It was good this morning. So John Osteen was his dad. I love watching him. John Osteen, when he died with kidney failure, and there was a couple other things. He was in a lot of pain, dialysis, and a whole bunch of other things. So he served God for 50 years. 50 years. I mean, he was a groundbreaker. If you can get on YouTube and listen to John, he's nothing like Joel. John Osteen was blunt, to the point. I mean, he was a powerhouse. And so his son-in-law is sitting by his bedside, and he says this, his dad, he goes, why do you think God's allowing you to suffer so much? Because you're a general in the faith. You've served him for 50 years faithfully. And you're here, you're wasting away. You're on all these medications, you got tubes going in you, and why doesn't God heal you? And John Osteen looks at him and he says, son, he says, I know this one thing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That was the last word he ever spoke on this side of the earth. He died right after he said that. Wow. Never spoke another word. Because you know what he did? He said, I don't question God. I just say, God is good. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. And John slipped into eternity. Hallelujah. Was the Lord good to him? Sure was. Sure was. Amen. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, I want us all to say this together. Say this, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Everybody stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, please. I want to go to the scripture, and I want to say it, and I want us... You know how in some churches they have what they call a responsorial... Is that what they say? Yeah. Right? All you nice little Catholic girls know what I'm talking about. Right? Your response is, yeah. Right? So it's the same thing in Psalm 107. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So that's your response. Get it? It's a responsorial. All right, so let me do it again. Ready? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, endures forever." Let's see. It says, "Before he satisfies me, the longing of my soul, and fills my hungry soul with goodness, for his mercy endures forever." "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress, for the Lord endures forever. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy endures forever. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of praise and declare his works with rejoicing, for his mercy endures forever." And you can take this for everything you do, for his mercy endures forever. "For the Lord healed me of cancer, for his mercy endures forever. For God forgave you of all your sins, for his mercy endures forever. For God gave you a beautiful wife, for his mercy endures. God gave you a wonderful husband. God's about to give you a beautiful wife. God's about to give you a wonderful husband. God is good, and his mercy endures forever." Did I ever tell you the story of a guy I met from, I think he was from Kenya, or Swahili, or, no, Swahili is a language, right? I think it was Kenya. I met him many years ago, and he introduced himself as, I said, "Hi, my name is Artie." He says, "My name is Shegu Olale." I'm like, "Huh? Like Shake? No, he said, "My name is Shegu Olale." I'm like, "Okay, what does that mean? It must mean something. You guys know what it means? Don't say it." So, if you do know what it means, is it Nigerian? Okay. So he says to me, "Well," he says, "I wasn't supposed to be born." He says, "And when I was born, my mother screamed out, 'Shegu Olale.' And that's what the doctor named me." I said, "Oh, cool, okay. Was that your dad's name? Or, you know, I don't know." He goes, "No." He goes, "There was a lot of complications and I wasn't supposed to be born. Shegu Olale means for the Lord, God is good all the time." And I said, "Okay, so can you break it up?" He goes, "Shegu, God is good, Olale, all the time." So I said, "Can I call you Olale Shegu? All the time, God is good." So he said, "You can call me anything you want." He said, "As long as you call me, for God is good all the time." Amen. Amen. So Shegu,
Olale,
Olale. Praise the Lord. See, you just learned a whole other language. Amen. Now I want you to do this one last thing before we go. Just lift your hands and say thank you to the Lord. Come on, lift your hands. Say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.